Thanks for checking out the My City Church podcast today. If this is your first time listening in with us, we want you to know that you are loved. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope that this message inspires you. And now, here is Pastor Angela Norman.
Glad you guys are here, and I'm pumped to just share a word with you this morning. And I actually couldn't be more passionate. When Jesse had told me what the topic was going to be today, I was like, this is perfect for me because I'm really passionate about it and I'm excited about it. So anyway, we're in our final week of Hack Your Habits. How many of you have enjoyed this series thus far? Good. It's been good to find some habits that help stick and make it stick. And a couple recaps of what we've talked about. Jesse's already hit on a couple. But the reality is a lot of us have uphill hopes, but we have downhill habits. So we have these things that we want to hope for, that we want to reach for, but all of our habits are actually running in the opposite direction. And just like Jesse talked about, we are what we repeatedly do, that we have to, for our habits will form us. Otherwise, if our habits form us, we must form our habits or they will form us. So the reality is you've got to take guard, you've got to take power over your habits because they will form you if you don't take authority over them. If we don't change our habits, then our hopes are simply just inspiration. And inspiration can be great. Inspiration can be you coming here on Sunday mornings and you leave and you get so inspired and pumped about today and then what happens tomorrow. Inspiration doesn't equip you, doesn't give you the tools, doesn't give you the how-to. And as pastors, if we just came up here week after week and just inspired you and just gave you a hope for the day, we would actually not be doing our job. We might as well wipe our hands clean and leave and just say, you know what, we're not going to be here. Because the reality is I want you to leave here. I want you to leave every single Sunday with tools in your hand to know how you can pursue your walk with Christ, how to hack your habits, how to pursue that, how to move forward. We can try to build our habits in our own way, but the reality is when we do it God's way, our habits will stick. I feel like our way equals temporary. God's way equals eternal. He wants to build habits in you that are going to last forever, that are going to last not just today, not tomorrow, but a year from now when you're going through a struggle. He wants to build habits in you that you can tackle and you can pursue. This series has been all about helping you make change stick, but change stick God's way by developing uphill habits that will line up with your uphill hopes. I love what Romans 12:2 says. We've all heard the scripture because we've used it every single week, but it says, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and just quickly respond to it. That's all he wants. Unlike the culture around you, unlike the relationships around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you and develops well-formed maturity in you. That's what developing habits are all about. It's about developing that maturity inside of you that allows you to, you know what, I'm going to take a step forward. I'm going to make it work. God's way develops maturity in you that allows you to say, you know what, anything worth fighting for, it takes work. So I'm going to choose to work hard at it. I'm going to choose to pursue it, and I'm going to choose to step forward. You see, God's way brings out the best in you. I love what that scripture also says. God's way will bring out the best in you. How do you know whether or not whether the best is being pulled out of you? How do you know that? But you will know when it's God's way. You know when you're operating on full cylinders. You know when you've got the Holy Spirit behind you. That's what God's way is. It's when you know that you're operating at your very best. Maybe not. Maybe some of you today may feel inspired. Maybe some of you just want to do your best, but the reality is it's just too hard sometimes. But I'm here today to tell you, you can do it. It's going to take work, but we can do it. So last few weeks, we've been talking about several things. I don't know when I preach. I actually asked. I was like, I need to have a Kleenex up here. For some reason, my nose always runs. Is that weird? I'm sorry. I don't get it because I'm like, I just don't know why. That's like the one thing that, whatever. So anyway, in the last few weeks, we're going to recap. The first one was Jesse talked about focus on your first. So we talked about the first 15 minutes of your day, that every day you wake up and you spend 5 minutes praying, you spend 5 minutes worshiping, you spend 5 minutes reading your word, just making God the first thing that you ever do every single week. You start your week where? Coming to church on Sunday. Just start your months off right. There's a pattern that you can do by putting God first. So the first thing is what? Focus on your first. The second, Samuel Juth talked about this, and he said, focus on your language, that the power of life and death is in your tongue, and your language will dictate your future. So if you can hack the habit of your language, you actually can change your whole future. If you can hack the habits of your language, your whole future can be changed. And the third thing and the final thing Jesse talked about was focus on your purpose. And vision is being able to see where you want to go. It's being able to see the end result. But the purpose is all about what steps you need to take in order to do there, what steps you need to take right now to see that vision happen. That's what your purpose is. Your purpose isn't this something that you're going to reach for in 10 years. Your purpose is what you're doing right now. It's what you're doing with right now to get to your vision in the future. You see, Jesse talked about that we live by design. You have the power to design your life. It's not by default. Don't just go mundane day to day and just whatever comes at you, whichever the way the wind blows. Let's design our lives to pursue Jesus with all of our heart. And then today, which I'm pumped about, we're talking about our fourth and final step, our fourth and final habit. And I truly, truly, truly believe with all of my heart that this is probably the most important habit. If we can tackle this habit, it's going to affect every other habit. It's going to help you in all those habits, but it's going to help your habits stick. And this one is focus on your relationships. Can I pray for you guys today? God, I thank you so much for every person that's here, God. And I thank you that you have a destiny and a calling. But God, I thank you that you choose to develop those in us through our relationships and through our habits. And so God, I just pray right now that you speak to hearts. God, I pray that they would hear your voice today. And God, that they wouldn't feel condemned, but they would feel convicted. God, that they would hear your spirit and they would recognize that relationships are good for them. They're solid for them. And God, I just pray that you speak to their hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. So good. Thanks, Josh. You're the best. As Jesse says, thanks for making it more spiritual. Appreciate it. Anyway, so how many of you guys, have you ever gotten yourself into a situation where you just feel completely stuck? Whether you, when in high school and you're at a party and you're like, oh my gosh, how do I get out of this? Or for me, for some reason, I don't know why, when I was thinking through these stories, this was one that came to me, but I randomly worked at Arby's, yes, for 5.5 years of my life. Not really sure I want to claim that, but I am. But about 18, I took on this supervisor position. I'd been there for 4 years by that point. And I was hanging around with all these people that I worked with, but not only that, I also went to school with them. And so I was around them a lot. And I just got myself into some very, very, very uncomfortable situations. And I really liked my job because I don't like to change jobs. In fact, I think I've changed jobs like 3 times, and I'm 33. So I just don't change jobs. So for me to leave Arby's was like, oh my gosh, I don't know if I can do this because I'm comfortable. I know this stuff. It's like the back of my hand. But I just felt like God say, if you want change, if you want to, you want something to look different in your life, you've got to cut these people out. And I was like, oh, okay, God, but I'm really comfortable at my job. But then he's okay if you're okay with a half-hearted life, if you're okay with being one step in and one step out, then you can maintain the relationships in that job place that you want. And I'm like, okay, I get the point. So I literally out of nowhere was just like, okay, here's my 2 weeks, I'm leaving, peace out. I didn't have a job, I didn't have any of that, but I was just like, I know I gotta leave. And so, but the reality is I had a choice in that situation. And I'm here to tell you that you guys have a choice in your relationships. I know sometimes you feel like, maybe I don't, people are naturally surrounded by you or your family or whatever, but you have a choice whether or not they can speak into your life or not. The sum total of your relationships are gonna dictate exactly where you're at right now. You are the sum total of your relationships. Did you know that your relationship decisions are going to be the most important decisions you will ever make? Ever. Because relationships are something that never leaves you. You're always surrounded by them. They're always there. You are the sum total of those relationships. You've all heard this saying, show me your future or show me your friends. I'll show you your future. We say that, and it's a cool slogan, it's a cool phrase, but the reality is I can look at you, and I can look at your friends, and I can see the influence that they're having on you, and I can show you your future. I can show you your future. I love this scripture. This is Proverbs 27:19. This is so good. It says, a mirror reflects a man's face, but what he is really like is shown by the friends he chooses. It's pretty incredible. That's in the Bible. That's in the Bible. You can look at somebody and determine what they're like simply by the friends that they choose to surround themselves with. You see, there's 4 choices that we need to make in regards to our relationships. And the very first one is that we have to nurture the important relationships. The status of your relationships is going to reveal how much you've actually spent nurturing those relationships. So if you're unhappy in a relationship and you're just not satisfied, how much have you nurtured that relationship? How much effort have you put into it? You know, there was, when Jesse and I moved back to the Midwest probably about 5 years ago, Jesse was pastoring at Christ Place in Lincoln, and I got a job just helping open up a hospital because I had worked for the same company down in Florida. And it was really cool. It was great. It was awesome to be back in the Midwest, I think. No, I'm just kidding. But the reality is Jesse was pastoring there, and I went to this job, and, you know, he was really committed. I was really involved in church, but it was really minimal. In fact, I was probably more committed to my job than I was committed to the ministry, and even so, my husband. I was probably more committed to that. In fact, I began to move up really quickly in that job. I knew the company because I worked for him before, and so I had all these different ideas, and I just really kind of put my step forward and just tried to really help the hospital move forward. And you know what? Eventually, there was a transition in the job or a transition in our leadership at the hospital, and a chief nursing officer position became open, and they were like, you know what? Can you come in and fill this position interimly? And I was like, okay, sure. And it was like a 50, 60 plus hour a week, like Jesse can attest to it. I worked that many hours. But the reality is I looked at it and I was making, it was successful. I did it for 8 months. Our census was up. Numbers were looking better. Employees were satisfied. I mean, like, I was doing a really good job. I was crushing it. And so I was like, okay, I'm not trying to be whatever, but it's like literally on paper, I was doing really good. And so I went ahead and I was like, you know what, I'm just going to go ahead and apply for this permanent position. But I did think it was a long shot just because at that time I'd literally not even been a nurse for 3 years. So for somebody to pretty much run a whole nursing staff is pretty much physically impossible when you've only been a nurse for 3 years. Well, so then time went on, and during this time I really had felt like I neglected my marriage. Jesse was running one way, I was running the other. I was pursuing a career that I never anticipated pursuing. I knew that I was going to be a nurse for the sake of financial help when we're planting a church, but I never intended to pursue a career that all of a sudden I was chasing after. And so me and Jesse were running in opposite directions. And I remember Jesse being frustrated because he'd look at me and he said, babe, I just feel like you're not with me. And I'm like, you're right. When we signed up to get married, we had said, we're going to do this together and we're going to do it wholeheartedly. And quite honestly, the fire within our marriage had dwindled. It was still there, but it had dwindled down significantly. And it turns out I didn't get the job, which is fine, because God knew exactly what I needed. He had to get to me a point where he had to say, Angela, wake up. I need you to nurture this relationship. I need you to nurture this marriage, because within you, you guys are going to do incredible things. God had to wake me up, but I had to nurture my relationship. And I love what the definition of nurture is. It says to care for and encourage the growth and development of. So it doesn't just say just to care for. Yeah, I have to be caring and I have to be loving, but are you growing it? Are you encouraging the growth of it? Are you developing it? What are you doing to develop and to nurture your relationships? It's so important that we nurture those. Some of you today, the reality is your marriages are running out. In fact, you're probably ready to quit and be done. Your fire's running out and it's to the point where there's only a little bit of ash left. But can I challenge you today to go get more wood? Go get more lighter fluid. Go get paper. I know maybe that's not good for the environment, but go do something to blow up that fire and relight that fire again. You have to nurture those relationships. Those fires need to be built. Those fires need to be stabilized. Those fires need to grow. Don't let your fire go out. Don't let it. But again, anything worth fighting for, what's it going to take? It's going to take work. It's going to take work to nurture our relationships. I love Jesse so much, and you know what? I'm not perfect, and neither is he, but it takes a constant fight to work and to nurture our relationships. Don't give up. The grass is not always greener on the other side. It's not. In fact, your water bill's probably going to be a little heavier, a little bigger. It's going to be a little bit more money, because the reality is you have to water it in order for it to be green. Don't go to the backyard. It's not better over there. Wherever you water it, it's going to be greener. So don't think that it's greener on the other side, because it's actually probably going to take a lot more money and time and effort. You have to nurture your relationships. And you have to make a choice. You don't feel like nurturing. Our choices lead. Our feelings will follow. When our choices lead, our feelings will follow. Don't lead by your feelings, because I would tell you about 90% of the time, it won't lead you in the right direction. I'm telling you, trust me, if I was led by everything that goes on in my head and what I feel, I would not be where I'm at today. The reality is, your choices need to lead. Your choices need to lead. We believe in the importance so much of our marriages here at My City that actually we're going to do here in just a couple months, we're going to do our very first marriage retreat, which I'm pumped about. We did just change the dates on it. It'll hopefully be the end of May. That's kind of the goal. But I would plan right now, if you're married, to get that plan, to figure out financially how you can do it, because make a choice to nurture your marriages. But there's some of you that maybe you're not married. So what do I do from here? You're saying to nurture your relationships. And I'm like, well, you have friends. Or maybe you're in a dating relationship. What are you doing to nurture those friends that are in your life that are really good for you, that are actually God friends? Bros, you need bros. Girls, you need girls. I love our City Girl thing because it says we don't compete. We contend for one another. We're not against each other, guys. Like, if we're walking in our calling for God, we're not against each other. We're on the same side. You've got to find people that can fight this journey with you. You've got to fight for it, but you have to nurture it. You have to nurture it. The second thing that we have to do is that we have to restore broken relationships. The pain of not restoring the relationship is greater than the pain than restoring it. So if you don't restore it, you're going to be in a lot more pain than if you choose to restore it. Because you hang on to those things. You allow yourself to carry baggage behind you that you were never meant to carry. You've got to choose to restore these relationships. Romans 12:17 says, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of anyone, of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. You see, we have to settle in our hearts, not just to forgive occasionally, not just to forgive every once in a while, but we have to settle in our hearts to forgive always. It can't be an option, because the reality is when you're carrying unforgiveness in your heart, and my prayer is right now that even God would just reveal that if there's even a little bit of unforgiveness in your heart, that God would show you and that he would bring it to light so that way you don't have to carry that, because that puts more on you than what you even know. So there's been things that have been done to you that is not fair. People have treated you poorly, or maybe you've treated somebody else poorly. But you've got to let that go, and you've got to restore that. There's some of you that need to go say sorry. There's some of you that need to go, you know what, I did you wrong, and I'm really sorry. And you know what, then the ball's in their court. You've at least thrown the pass, but it's in their court from there on out. Settle in your hearts to forgive always. I love this. Unforgiveness is like setting yourself on fire while hoping that the other person dies of smoke inhalation. So who's the more injured person in that? You, because you're setting yourself on fire by choosing not to forgive somebody. We have to choose to forgive. You aren't hurting the other person, you're actually hurting yourself. Colossians 3:13 says, bear with one another and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. There's another scripture that talks about you actually need to physically leave the altar. You can't go and pursue God. You can't go and do what you want to do until you go and make it right with those people. Even if there's a little bit of inkling in you that's bitter, angry, or frustrated at somebody, go and restore that relationship. You may not be the best of friends tomorrow, but that doesn't matter, because you've done your duty and you've restored that relationship to the best that you know how. So that way you can pick up and you can move on. I love, the next one is sever harmful relationships. We have to sever harmful relationships. And no, I'm not talking about your marriages, okay? They're not harmful. We're talking about people that just simply are not good for you. And this is probably the hardest thing for most people. It's the hardest thing for them to be able to cut out people that just simply don't need to belong in your life. Maybe some of you are involved in some kind of relationship right now. Maybe you're saved, you come to church and they don't. Or maybe you're just out there and you're just partying with all these friends. Regardless of you're choosing to initiate, you're choosing to be involved in a relationship that's not good for you. That they're not being able to pour life into you. They're not speaking life over your situations. In fact, they're doing the very opposite, and they're pulling you away. You know, this, I hesitated to share this, but I really felt like God talked to me about this. And there's some of you that may not be necessarily in a harmful relationship, but maybe there's some decisions and choices that you're making within that relationship that are just simply not God's way. And can I tell you today that there's freedom in God's way? There's this couple in the church, and it's such a beautiful story, and I didn't ask for permission, so I won't give names. But they were just doing some things that probably weren't the best in the eyes of God. And they had newly come to church, and knew they had a calling on their life, and they were set to get married, they're engaged, and they basically the next week after they felt like God convict them immediately and say, you need to get married. And they immediately the next week went and got married. And now that doesn't mean that they're not celebrating. They're going to get to celebrate here in a couple months. But just the integrity behind that, I was just like, that is just so special. And they're a young couple. So for them to be able to feel that conviction with their whole heart and run after it, you see, there's a freedom that they've experienced that they probably don't even know that they experienced because of what they did and the decisions that they chose to make. So maybe it's not necessarily that you're making wrong decisions in relationships, but you're just within your relationship making some choices that aren't good for you. But either way, there are some people out there that are just simply toxic, and you've just got to get rid of them. And I really don't know what else to say and how to even clearly say that without just saying you just have to get rid of it. You just have to stop it. There's so many times in my life, throughout my whole entire life, that I've had to recognize that I'm doing what I'm doing, not because this is what I want to do, but because these people around me want to do it. So why am I falling into the category of what they're doing when I don't even want this? You have the ability to make a choice to get out of it. So let's sever these harmful relationships. Proverbs 13:20 says, walk with the wise and become wise. Pretty basic. Associate with fools, and what's going to happen? You're going to get in trouble. And we're not talking about the mom and dad trouble. We're talking about your life. We're talking about your eternity. We're talking about what you have here on earth. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, don't be fooled by those who say such things, for bad company corrupts good character. Pretty simple. Those who you surround yourself with, especially if they're not people of good character, they're going to pull you down. It's easier to pull somebody down than it is to pull somebody up. It just is. And then finally, this is the most important, initiate meaningful relationships. You see, we all want great friendships. We all want healthy marriages. We all want mentors in our life. But are we willing, again, to take the steps towards it? Because again, what? Anything worth fighting for, it takes work. It takes work. The default is to not be with people because people make us feel uncomfortable. So it's easy to say, you know what, I don't need relationships, or I'm just going to stay at home and I'm going to watch my TV and I'm going to veg out on Netflix. It's easy to do that because we don't think we need people. But the reality is, and I've said this before, we were never, ever, ever meant to do life alone. Ever. You can't tell me that there's not those moments where you are at home by yourself and you get all weird and not unemotional because there's nobody around with you. We've all had those moments. I've had them. I'm like, why am I sitting at home by myself? Why don't I call somebody over here and just spend some time with them? Don't get me wrong. You need some of those times. You need some of that separation. But I'm talking about really including people in your world. Really including in your world. You see, we're not meant to do it alone. It takes nurturing. It takes restoring. And it takes severing. And all will help initiate meaningful relationships. But how do we initiate these meaningful relationships? So great, you told me. Okay, so how do I do that? I'm awkward. I'm introverted. How do I do it? Right? I mean, let's be honest. There's some of us it comes easy, and there's some of us that it just doesn't. It's not a natural flow to me for me to connect with somebody. But the very first thing that we have to do is we have to develop a relationship with my church. The church has to become your church. I'm not saying my city. I'm not saying it has to be our church. But you have to find a church that you can call my church. You know why? Because it's yours. You take ownership of it. It's a level of responsibility. It's something that you can carry with you. And you know what? This is my church, and I love it, and I belong here. The reality is we don't just have those signs out there that say you belong here for just, you know, giggles, right? We do it because we want you to know that the church is a place that you can belong, that you can call my home. The church is a place that you can belong. I love this scripture in Ephesians 2, verse 19 through 22. And it's actually really funny because I didn't expect this when I read this. But it says, that's plain enough, isn't it? You're no longer wandering exiles. You're no longer just out there wandering. The kingdom of faith is now your home country. You're no longer strangers or outsiders. You belong here. I didn't plan that. I didn't, I promise. It says, you belong here with as much as the right to the name Christian as anyone. God is building a home, and he's using us all, irrespective of how we got here and what he is building. The church is your church. This is my church, and I'm going to take ownership. I'm going to take responsibility. When I see a trash on the floor, I'm going to pick it up. Why? Because it's my church. If somebody's sitting there by themselves, I'm going to go up, and I'm going to meet them, and I'm going to say, how are you? Why? Because it's your church. It's your church. We need to take ownership. This is my church. The next thing is we need to develop a relationship with godly friends. How do you know they're godly friends? How can you gauge a temperature on it? It's simple. Are they pulling you closer to God, or are they pushing you away? It's that simple. You have to develop those godly friendships. In the New Testament, this is what God basically determined as godly friendships. In Acts chapter 2, verse 44, and it says, all the believers met together in one place, and they shared. So met and shared everything they had. Verse 46, we're just skipping over 45 because I feel like it. Verse 46, they followed a daily discipline of worship in the temple, followed by meals at home, every meal a celebration, exuberant and joyful as they praise God. And I love this picture of what the church looks like, because the reality is they, one, they met together, so they had to spend time together, but they shared together. You have to share your lives with people. You have to be willing. It doesn't have to be everybody and their mom, okay? It can be one or two people that you completely and utterly trust, that you can take off your mask, that you can take off your past. You don't have to have any shame, and you share your life with them. That you share your life with them. The next thing they did is they ate a meal together. There's something significant about a meal to where it literally just kind of molds you together. Plus, it kind of helps you get over that awkwardness because you're all genuinely, you're just eating a meal together and you're hanging out. And so that's what this week, that's what crews are about. And I wanted to take a minute and talk about crews, because the reality is if you want to initiate your meaningful relationships, then you've got to get godly friends around your life. It's going to be uncomfortable. It's going to be weird, but that's why crews are there. And actually, we had our first crew. We lead a family crew just at the very first one a couple of weeks ago. And it was so awkward. And I'm sure everybody in the crew could tell you that, because we literally had 9 couples that did not know each other. None of them knew each other except for Jesse, and I knew all of them. Actually, one couple I didn't even know. So at first, everybody was in there, and I was like, all right, guys, we got to push past this awkwardness. Let's do this. Like, come on, just initiate some conversations. I promise you're going to get through this. And, you know, I'm pumped for the next one on Tuesday, because I just want to see even the next step that some of them are going to take and push through that awkwardness. Can I challenge you today to get plugged into a crew? Don't leave today without getting yourself connected and initiate those godly relationships. And the final thing is that the third one is to develop a relationship with a team. Okay, here you go. This is just another way of recruiting us for team. Actually, no, this is what God's called you to do. We were never meant to do this life alone. In fact, two are always, always better than one. Every single week we're here, we have over 300 people that choose to serve on team together. And I'm telling you, they have the most fun. I had Generations Night on Wednesday, and yeah, we played this like random, like, I don't even, ninja, bear, and cowboy game. It's like rock, paper, scissors, but in the human form. And it was just the funnest thing because it was just so much fun. Everybody's laughing and giggling. And that was 60 of us in there, a kids team, just celebrating all that God's done last season. You see, we need to have a relationship with a team. We were never meant to do this life alone. In Ecclesiastes 4:8, it says, there was a man all alone. He had neither son nor brother. There was no end to his toil. Yet his eyes were not content with just his wealth. For who am I toiling, he asked, and why am I depriving myself of enjoyment? That the key word there for me is enjoyment. He just wasn't enjoying life. I don't know about you, but I want to enjoy life, and I want to enjoy it with the people that I have around me. This too is meaningless, a miserable business. Two are better than one because they always, always have a good return for their labor. I think sometimes we think that labor just means the physical work and the result that we're going to get. But I actually like to look at it, the result that you're going to get, the thing that you're going to get as a result of that relationship. You're going to get confidence. You're going to get strength to be built up. You're going to get dignity. That is what you're going to get when you choose to partner with people around you. When you're alone, there's no end to your misery. But when you're together, you get stuff done. Both relationally, practically, emotionally, you get stuff done. That's why we have our next classes here. It's just all about taking your next steps here at My City. It's going to tell you, how can you belong? So how can you make this my church? It's going to help you figure out how to belong. It's going to help you how to find and develop relationships. It's going to help you get plugged into a crew. But it's also going to help you get plugged into a team, because you weren't meant to do this alone. But not only that, it helps pull your gifts, the gifts that you actually were made for, but to be able to operate in the church. So I challenge you, if you haven't gone through our next classes, they're every weekend, right after our second service, take them. Find your place. Find your godly friends. Again, anything worth fighting for, it's going to take work. It's going to take work to go to that next class. Man, it's a Sunday afternoon. I want to go take a nap. It's an hour. You'll survive, I promise. And the final thing, and the most important, is we need to develop our relationship with God. The reality is if this relationship with God is not intact, none of your other relationships are going to sustain. They're just not. Have you ever wondered what it would be like if you simply just went all in for God? What does it look like? I know what it's like because about 13 years ago, I had to decide to go all in. After 12 years of ministry, we've seen people try God. They've seen them pop into church on a Sunday for about 2 months consistently, and then all of a sudden they're disappeared. But most people don't just try the NBA. Most people don't just try to become a doctor. Most people don't try to become an architect. What do they have to do? They have to go all in. They have to be committed to say, you know what, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do it with my entire heart. Because in order to get the NBA, it takes a lot of work. And your relationship with God, does it take work? Yeah, but it's work that returns such a good return. It returns such a good fulfillment. We have to focus and develop on our relationship with God. You see, if we don't respond to God's urge to be all in, sometimes we have to get to the point of crisis. And I'm not saying that God makes those crises happen, but the reality is he will allow them only because he knows it's just going to make you closer to him, only because he knows that he's the best thing for you. And so if it takes you to get to that, what people call rock bottom, it will. Because God's a loving God, and he wants to do whatever it takes to make sure that you get to him and to make sure that you have eternal life. We have to develop our relationship with God. What would it be like if we simply went all in? And I would just ask each and every one of you today, is there even a little part of you, maybe even 10%, maybe 20%, maybe 50-50? Maybe some of you have one foot in, one foot out, so that any moment you could run away. Maybe some of you are just hesitant because you've had bad things happen in your past and I don't want to commit to something. But I would check your heart and just see if there's even a 10% of you that's not all in for God. If we can stand to our feet. The reality is, if you're not all in, you can't do it. It doesn't work just a little bit. Nothing ever works just a little bit. If you went to your job every day of the week and you just worked a little bit, it wouldn't work. You'd probably get fired. Nothing ever works just a little bit. The reality is you won't find it unless you go all in. And there's this final scripture I want to share with you. And Jesse actually already shared it today, not planning it. And it's Jeremiah 29:13. It says, if you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. You see, God's not asking for your half heart. He's not asking for a little bit of you. He's not just saying, oh, just come on Sundays. He's not saying, oh, just talk about me a little bit. He actually wants to be a full and complete part of your life. He wants you to live for him wholeheartedly. But can I tell you today, unless it's wholeheartedly, you're not going to get the benefit of a relationship with Jesus, because he's an all-in God. He's an all-in God that wants all of you every single step of the way. And so I just want to pray for a couple people. And the very first one is that maybe there's just some of you that have one foot in and one foot out. You've kind of hesitated. Again, my challenge is, my prayer right now is that God speaks to you. Because if there's just a little bit of you that hasn't fully been surrendered to God, I just want to pray for you today. So I'm going to pray. God, I thank you for every person that's here today.
Thanks for checking out the My City Church podcast. We hope that this message inspired you to love God, love people, and lead in life. If you'd like to connect with us further, please visit us on the web at mycitychurch.cc. Until next time, we are believing that the best is yet to come in your life.